Just heard a story about old James and John. They wanted Jesus to give them the very best seats in the house when it came to being in the kingdom of God. They wanted the very best seats, one on his right and one on his left. Yeah. You see, just because we are ordained deacon, priest, bishop, archbishop, cardinal, pope, does not mean that we don't still have to wrestle with our ego and try to keep our ego under control. Apparently, James and John weren't very good at that part of the calling to which they were called. I want to talk to you a little bit about what's been going on recently in the Catholic Church. But I want to approach it from a little bit different perspective. Yes, there has been extraordinary bad behavior on the parts of many. And the church is beginning the process of finding out why and holding people accountable. As well it should. And it is also doing everything humanly possible to support those who were victimized, as well it should. But I want to talk about how maybe something as horrific as you have read in the papers could happen, having been done by one of the foremost cardinals in America, and it never be called into question. I'm talking about the former cardinal, Theodore McCarrick. Now, by the way, if you don't read a lot of church news, you may not know that he has been busted out of the rank of cardinal, okay? The Pope said, give me your red hat back. He has now been placed in a monastery in Victoria, not Texas, Kansas, which is 200 miles west of Topeka. Now, some of you may not be familiar with the great Midwest. I grew up in Missouri and my father was born in Kansas. I still have family left in Kansas. I know Kansas. Kansas was not a friend of mine. And South Texas ain't no Kansas, but that's another story. Huge, vast plains filled with nothing but wheat, so that you can go to the store and buy white bread, whole wheat bread, many, many choices, cereal, all the things that we just take for granted, has to start somewhere, and it starts on the plains of Kansas. Well, about 200 miles west of Victoria, in the middle of nowhere, is a little crossroads by the name of Victoria. The old German settlers out there built a beautiful church 100 years ago. And a group of monks, Capuchin monks, went out there and said, this is the kind of privacy that we're looking for. And so they built a monastery. According to the bishop of that area, he said, when you get into that monastery, you really do feel like you are in the middle of nowhere. Those who had the responsibility of placing former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick someplace where he could have the privacy to pray and work for the redemption of his soul, decided that might just be a good place to put him. And so there he is, in the middle of nowhere, given the task of praying and praying and praying before his trial that will be held in Rome. My guess is, the end of that trial, he'll be going back to the middle of Kansas, the middle of nowhere, to pray that his soul does not burn in hell. But how did he get so powerful? Well, you can read about it, you can Google it, there's lots of stuff that's been in the newspaper. But Theodore McCarrick was over in the East Coast, in Pennsylvania, in New Jersey. And he became very close friends with very rich people. Very rich people. It is my suspicion that every time word began to filter from New Jersey to Rome about old Teddy's behavior, one of his friends in Rome would call him and say, "Freddie, Teddy, calm it down. Calm it down, Teddy. Word's getting out. You may want to see if you can find a little gift to send to Rome." To which Teddy would respond, "What is the favorite charity of the Holy Father right now?" And he would say, "Well, you know, there is a school in Africa, or a school in South America, or Central America, or an orphanage." And he has been getting reports of how poor they are. And it's on his heart, and he really wants to make a difference. And so, the former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick would go to one of his very rich friends and say, "I need $1 million. I need $1 million for an orphanage in Central America." And he'd present the case, and good rich Roman Catholic up there would say, "Okay, yeah. Tax exempt? Probably. Anyway, say, yeah, I'll write you a check." He'd write a check to former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. Former Theodore McCarrick would put it in his account, then write it from his own account and send it over to the Pope. The Pope didn't know all the stuff that had gone in between. He thinks it's an answer to his prayers. "I got $1 million for those little children in Central America or wherever they were. Oh, thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Cardinal, almost Cardinal Theodore McCarrick." And then he'd cool it for a while, and then again, he would pick up his behavior and it would start over. My guess is, don't go home and tell all your family and friends that Father Blick told you exactly what happened. I don't know that it's exactly what happened, but I've known people and I've known church systems for over 40 years, and I think I've got a handle on this thing. And so, Teddy would pick up his old behavior. Things would calm down. 3 or 4 years later? Well, we just need to make Bishop McCarrick an archbishop. And then something would happen, and the process would begin over again. And the heat would come in Rome. Somebody on the inside would call Teddy. Teddy, you better calm it down. And the Pope's favorite charity right now is a monastery in Poland. They could use a gift. And it went on and on. And eventually, Cardinal Theodore McCarrick became the Cardinal Archbishop of Washington, D.C. Indeed, he became the face of the Roman Catholic Church in America. There's a big piece of the scandal. Well, he was told to cool it by Benedict XVI and quit running around all over the world presenting himself as the face of the American Catholic Church and to pray for his soul. So Teddy retired, went to Rome, waited till a new pope came on, Pope Francis, who didn't know the whole story. And then Teddy bought some plane tickets and he was back in business. Again, I can't promise you that that's exactly what happened, but I sure have a sneaking suspicion. One of the things we learned from the gospel this morning is that human beings, men in particular, have a very difficult time putting their ego on hold when they are called to serve God through His church. And I can say this as a priest, some of us are better at it than others, okay? Some of us are better at it than others. And Jesus said, can't give you those jobs, boys. Those two positions are already spoken for by my Father in heaven. And He has two people already prepared to sit at my right hand and my left hand in the kingdom of God. I want to back up just half a second to the second reading. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have a high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who has similarly been tested in every way, yet did not sin. Tested in every way. The devil came to Jesus, and he took him to the highest point in Jerusalem, to the pinnacle of the temple that still stood. And he showed him all the nations of the world and said, all this can be yours. You can be in charge of everything. If you will just bow down to me. Jesus was tempted in every way as we are. Jesus was tempted in every way as Teddy McCarrick was. Jesus had a male ego, just like I have. But he did not sin. There's the difference. So, I don't know what the point is of this homily. I'm really not sure. except to share with you the fact that since God put men and women in charge of His church and not angels, we still have problems. And I hope and pray that Teddy can pray and pray and pray and ask for God's forgiveness and do penance out there in the middle of Western Kansas on his knees in a monastery, and that he again can find a connection of his soul with the God of heaven and earth and realize that power in this world is not what we should aspire for. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.